First Kings. Hallelujah. Amen. First Kings chapter 2. Verse 28. Then the tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled into the under the tabernacle of the Lord, caught hold on the horns of the altar. Let's read on just a little bit. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord. Behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go, fall upon him. Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, Thus saith the king, Come forth. And he said, Nay, but I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, Do as he has said, fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed for me. The house of my father. Joab. Joab, Joab, Joab. What a character in the Bible. Most of the times, if I mention the name Joab, most people associate him with David. And most times, if I mention the name of Joab, we have good thoughts of Joab. We think good things about him. We think of him being loyal to King David. Think about him being a warrior, a soldier, a mighty man of valor, right? When we think about Joab. Is that what comes into your mind? Think about Joab. It's amazing when you, if I just mentioned the name, you would think positive thoughts, good thoughts about Joab. But if you really read the scripture and you really look into Joab's life, there's very few good qualities about Joab. Very few good qualities. But yet, when we talk about Joab, or his name is mentioned, we all look on him in a favorable way. We have good thoughts about him. We don't picture him dying holding on to the altar. We don't picture him suffering such a horrible end, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that, but we don't picture that. All we remember is the great things that Joab did. We remember him as being the one that took the city of Jerusalem. Remember, he chased out the Jebusites and was able to climb into the city, made his way up the rocky cliffs, gained access into the city of Jerusalem so that the people of Israel could, and David's army, could come in and take the city of Jerusalem. That was one of our first mentions of Joab. We think of Joab being the mighty warrior to lead David's army all through all these battles and great victories that was won by Joab and his military genius, right? We think of Joab, another thought of Joab is how that he turned against Absalom. Remember how when Absalom was hanging in a tree, Joab was the one that came and thrust dart into his heart. Killed him. Killed him. We have good thoughts about Joab, but why is that? Because when we really read the scripture, the character qualities of Joab are very weak. Not much there that we can brag about him as a man. Man that killed, took innocent blood. Man that did some horrible things even at the end when David was dying, when David was on his deathbed, and David had already named Solomon to be his king and next in line. And Joab, who had been faithful to David for all those years, turned against David, turned against Solomon, and fought against Solomon being king to the point that it led to his death in the tabernacle. Why is it that we have such great thoughts about Joab? Why is it that we cut him a break when we don't cut anybody else a break? Why is it that when we think of Joab, we kind of have a pleasant thought about him? Maybe as men, we kind of think of him being a mighty warrior, and that's, you know, we kind of want to think, you know, align ourselves with mighty men. Maybe we kind of think of, when we think of him, we think of his victories and the good things that he won, the battles that he won, without, and it kind of overshadows the other things about Joab. I'll tell you why I think that we have such good, favorable thoughts about Joab, even though his character does not hold up, if you would. The reason why we have good thoughts about Joab is because he aligned himself with David. He was with David. He was David's captain. He was one of David's mighty men. He was one that fought beside David. So therefore, because of his association with David, we overlook some of the failures of Joab, and we only focus on the good qualities of his life, because he was with David and he fought beside David. David and Joab. That association gives him a break. That association with David makes us look on him with a more favorable attitude, or put him in a different character as in our mind, rather than what he really was. Because if you study Joab, he did a lot of things that were very questionable. Joab was one that carried a grudge. He had a vengeful spirit. Even though when Absalom burnt his barley fields to get his attention, he came and he questioned him, "Why'd you burn my barley fields?" But he never struck out, never lashed out at the prince. But tell me, when he had heard the command in his own ear from King David that said, "Do the boy no harm." But when he came up upon Absalom, hanging in a tree, that vengeful spirit rose up inside of him, and he slew him, in spite of the command of David. Joab, in a time of battle, his brother pursuing the enemy, in hot pursuit of the enemy, that enemy took his sword while he was, his spear while he was running, and he warned him, said, back off. Joab's brother pursued. And finally, that enemy took that spear and plunged it backwards while he was running, and he killed Joab's brother in the heat of battle. He fled into a city of refuge to find refuge where he would be safe. Joab pursues him to a city of refuge where he should have safety. The Bible says he came to the gate of the city, spoke to him, "Abner, come on out. Come on out." And he spoke kindly to him, probably telling him, "Oh, it's no big deal. You're forgiven. whatever he had to do to get him to step out of the gate of the city of refuge. And then Joab put his arms around him, and while he was hugging him, he plunged his dagger into his enemy and killed him right there in the gate of the city of refuge. David said, "Abner, Abner, you died as a fool dies." But you know, Joab was a vengeful man. But we cut him a lot of bread. We cut him slack, you know that? We don't talk about those stories. Why is that? It's because of his association with David. It's because he was closely aligned to David. When we talk about Abraham, we can't hardly mention him without talking about Lot. Lot, we don't, you know, I know we know what happened to Lot, but you know why Lot enjoyed many of the blessings that he had in his life? It was because of his association with Abraham. We don't read of any great accomplishments of Lot. We don't read that he ever did anything that was really purposeful in life or anything that was really positive. The only thing we read is that when Lot was faced with a choice, he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and pitched his tent towards Sodom, and it led to his downfall. And Abraham had to bail him out. But man, Lot received a lot of blessings because his association with David. I mean, excuse me, with Abraham. Amen. Judas walked with the Lord for 3 years. For 3 years he walked with the Lord. He saw some great things. Some marvelous things that happened there while he was walking with Jesus. But yet he, who had seen so much and had enjoyed so many blessings because he was in association with Jesus Christ. But yet he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Demas, he had the privilege of going on missionary journeys with Paul. To work alongside of Paul. From what we read of Demas and from what we can gather about the little bit that's said about Demas in Scripture, as that he was a young man with a lot of potential. And he had a lot of personality that he could do something with. And he received many blessings because of his association with Paul. But in the end, Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." See, there's times that many people, it's not what they have done for God, but it's because they have associated themselves with God's people that they receive blessings in their life. That's right. It's not because of the great commitment that they have made or of their great dedication, but it's because they have chose to stand close to the people of God that they enjoy blessings of God. They don't have the same faith. They don't have the same belief. They don't hold the same standard. They don't worship in the same way. They don't have the same heart after God. But yet they hang close because they are blessed. And they have favorable things in their life because they are closely aligned to God's people. Yeah. Can I tell you, let me direct my thought to the young people for just a moment. Amen. Young people, you will enjoy blessings in your life because of godly parents. You will enjoy wonderful things in your life, and you will be blessed, and you will receive great things in your life simply because you have godly parents and that your parents serve the Lord. You will enjoy great privilege because your parents serve God. You will have great experiences, and you will be exposed to wonderful things in the house of God because you have godly parents. But there will come a day when the association with godly parents will not be enough to sustain you. And you will need something of your own to keep you in a bad day. Man. There's times maybe, you know what, you're here today because a spouse is serving God. You're here today because a loved one has encouraged you to come. You're here tonight because, hey man, you just feel like when you're here coming to church, good things happen in your life. And they will. And they will. You'll enjoy being around good people that love you. And you can appreciate the love that you feel when you are at Bethel Chapel. And good things will happen in your life. I believe that. And you will enjoy blessings that filter down upon your life. But on one day, you are going to have to make a choice for yourself if you are going to serve God. Amen. Comes a time when you have to do it yourself. Bethel Chapel is a great church. And I don't say that just because I'm pastor here. But I'm saying it's a great church. It's always had a wonderful spirit of worship here. Where you could come and you can feel God. And the blessings of the Lord have been here. And thank God for that. There's people that pray for Bethel Chapel. There's people that carry a burden for this work. There are people that stay up at night praying for this church. That wake up early in the morning and pray for this church. There are people that carry a load on them every day for this church, for Bethel Chapel. And many of us reap the benefits of their burden and of their prayers and the load that they carry without having any idea how heavy it might be or how difficult it might be. But yet we reap the benefits. We come and we worship. We come and we meet with God. We come and we are blessed. We come and our children are saved. We come and we are blessed beyond measure. But we have no idea, no clue as to what kind of a burden, amen, and what kind of a load has been carried in order for us to receive those benefits. Amen. Right? Amen. There'll come a day when if somebody don't pick up the torch, somebody don't take the baton, there'll come a day when if somebody don't catch on to the burden, amen, there's danger in the future of this church. Because many times we walk in, the light's on, the air's on, right? We like that, don't we? The doors are unlocked. Everything's clean. Everything's neat. Everything seems to be maintained and taken care of. Amen. And oh, that's nice. Amen. Tell you, we enjoy the benefits of having a campground. We enjoy the benefits of a campground. God's blessed us with a wonderful campground. It's a beautiful place. Tell you what, I just came from a campground. Grant City is a beautiful campground. I just came from Russellville, Arkansas. It is, we have a beautiful, beautiful camper. Amen. Amen. Yeah. They don't have a flooding problem in Russellville, Arkansas. When the rains, they got like 3 inches of rain just like that. It didn't flood. You know why? It's hard to flood a hillside. It just washed all the way down to the bottom. Right? It's kind of like Elko Hill. You never see Elko Hill underwater. Right? There ain't no water standing on that side of that hill. Man, it's all down at the bottom of the hill. In the ball field, right, kids? That's where it's at. But I'll tell you, we've been blessed. But it don't just happen. It don't just happen. We're blessed to be able to go out there to camp meeting and not have to drive but 15 minutes. Oh, what a sacrifice. Just a few minutes down the road and we're in camp meeting and youth camp with a great spirit of God and people that want to be there from miles around, and many of them drive clear across the country to be there. And we have it right in our own backyard. But we have no clue as to what goes into all that's done. It's funny because how can anybody be in Bethel Chapel and tell me, oh, is youth camp next week? When that happens, I'm like, what? You've got to be kidding me. You've got to, oh, man, is camp meeting next week? Is camp meeting starting on the Monday? Wow, where has the days gone? I'll tell you where they went. They went out at the campground. That's where they went. Oh, sometimes we enjoy the blessings that we have because of our association, because we have aligned ourselves to the work of God and to the people of God. And we are blessed and we have good things that happen because we are closely associated to the work of God. But I want you to know there comes a time when you need to catch hold of it. And you need to get a burden. And you need to realize, Lord, I need this for myself. That's right. Man, the ministries of Bethel Chapel are many. Many. Many ministries, I tell you, but there's not one more, I feel more positive ministry than the ministry of the bus ministry. That's right. The bus ministry is a blessing to our church. You say, how is that? We spend a lot of money on the bus ministry. I know we do. Thousands of dollars on the bus ministry. It's worth every penny of it. It's worth every penny of it because, hey man, I believe that God blesses Bethel Chapel because of our outreach to our community. To reach out to people and try to win people's hearts to the Lord. I believe that God blesses that work. And I believe that when we come to one of the reasons why, hey man, that God continues to bless us is because we're not just hoarding, we're not just keeping to ourselves, amen, but we are trying to reach people for Christ. And as long as you have a vision to reach people for God, God will bless you. God will bless this church. But don't think, amen, that it just happens. There are people that wake up every day with a burden for bus ministry. There are people that have a desire to reach souls for Christ that put people on a bus. Amen. People don't just call the church all day long wanting the bus to come and pick them up. But there's faithful people out there knocking on a door, amen, inviting people to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. And we receive blessings from that. Amen. And we, because we are associated with that, we have those blessings. But there needs to be a time when you catch a burden for bus ministry, for yourself. And don't matter, listen, you need to catch a burden for it. How many of you would like to have a part in the winning of somebody to Christ? How many of you would like to have a play some role in winning somebody to Christ? Get involved in the bus ministry. Get involved in the bus ministry. You need to catch that burden for yourself. Amen. Oh, but Brother Brim, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Oh, Lord, help us. We need to connect ourselves. And just because you know Bethel Chapel, you'll receive some benefit from that. Just because you attend Bethel Chapel, you will get some benefit from that. Sure. But wouldn't it be better to have a role in what God is doing? Amen. Amen. Yes, tell you, people that they do not want to make that commitment to God, to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord. And they don't want to make the commitment that it takes. Amen. To see something go forward. Tell you what, the commitment is great. There is a need for people that have drawn a little bit closer than just being associated with what's happening here. But they have felt the burden, they have felt the need, and they want to get involved in the work of the Lord. I say hallelujah. Amen. There needs to be those, amen, that'll step forward and catch a burden. Joab, with all the negative about Joab, amen, we still think of him positively. Amen, because he was aligned with David. But in the end, that was not his salvation. That is not what secured him. Amen, when it came down to the end, it wasn't enough to save him. And let me tell you, just because you are here, and just because you like what's going on, just because you like what you feel, just because you enjoy the blessing, amen, is not enough until you catch a hold of what God wants to do in your life, and you make a commitment and a dedication to the Lord, amen, that you're going to serve him. That you're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Got to have a little more than just being associated with him. Yes, we do. Amen. For like Joab, we'll end up, man, dying at the altar. Dying at the altar. Right. Like Judas, yeah, we'll end up dying hanging on a tree. Spiritually, I'm talking to you. That's right. Okay? Like Demas, we'll walk away and we'll leave it because we don't have anything invested in it. And I'll tell you, when it comes down to serving the Lord, if you really want the real blessings of God, I mean, you have to be able to pay that price. You've got to get it. Amen, you've got to get it. Tell you, when you walk away from mom and dad, young people, you better have it for yourself. When you get to college, you better have it for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't just enjoy blessings because, amen, you are connected to Bethel Chapel. You're not, that will not last. That will not suffice. There comes a day when you need to be committed to. Amen. A little different on a Sunday night, I know. But I felt like the Lord just laid on my heart this afternoon that some of us, man, we've enjoyed the ride long enough. We've enjoyed the ride long enough. It's time for some of us to pay the fare. You know that? Time for some of us to suddenly realize there's more. You say, Brother David, I'm involved. Are you doing all that you can? You say, are you doing this just because you need somebody? You're going to ask for people to help you, aren't you? You're doing this just because Thursday night's work night out at the camp, aren't you? Maybe, yeah. No, that's just, that was just one of the side benefits of doing this. That's not, we do need help in our bus ministry. We're desperately needing people to rise up. And some of our workers have went to Bible school and left some gaps. And we need some workers to rise up and fill those gaps. We desperately need that. And I would encourage you to pray about that and let the Lord lead you to do that. That's not why I'm saying this. The reason why I'm saying this is because, hey man, I want you to know there's a greater blessing. There is a greater blessing. Amen. When you work for the Lord and when you get involved in the things of God than just being an observer. Amen. Tell me, who got the greater blessing, Abraham or Lot? Wait, Lot chose the well-watered plains. Who got the greater blessing, Abraham or Lot? It was definitely Abraham. There's a greater blessing waiting for you. Amen. When you draw near to God. When you draw near to God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can I tell you, you need something more right now. Maybe you're here today and you're at this service tonight just because of the benefits that you've received and the blessings that you've received. Maybe you've enjoyed, like Ruth enjoyed in the book of Ruth, she enjoyed handfuls of purpose. She didn't have the whole harvest, but she was blessed by handfuls that were dropped for her to pick up and that would sustain her. I believe that you can be sustained and by being close to the people of God. But there is a greater blessing when you move forward, and let God do something in you. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be known just because I've associated with a person or a church or a movement. But I want to be known because I've made a commitment and a dedication to God for myself. I don't want it to be known that I'm George Brim's son. That's not, I'm not ashamed of it, but that's not my purpose. Danny Brim's brother. Lord help us, Tim Brim's brother. Okay? But I want to be known as one that gave his life to the Lord and dedicated his heart to God, that served the Lord with all of his heart. What about you? What about you tonight? The greater blessing. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, that you speak to our heart tonight. God, I've shared with them tonight what you've laid on my heart. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would direct us now. That you would direct us into this altar. God, that we could find a place, Lord Jesus, that we would draw nearer to you, Lord, and make a commitment to you. Not, Lord God, because of our family and not because of Bethel Chapel, but Lord, we want to do it because we love you. A commitment, Lord God, that we want to serve you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. With all of our heads bowed right now, tonight I'm going to bow my head. I don't even want to look around myself tonight. Don't want to look around tonight, but I want you to make a commitment to God. Don't do it because somebody's going to see, because nobody's looking. I'm not even looking. Nobody's looking, so you're doing it before God, not before man. But I wonder tonight if you would, if you feel led to do it, slip your hand up as a commitment before God. That, Lord, I'm not just going to be one that lives on the fringes and accepts all the handed down blessings. But God, I want to press in and receive the blessings for myself. And God, I want to have firsthand experience of you, Lord Jesus. Amen. With nobody looking, just made it you and God. And if you can make that commitment before the Lord, amen, just put your hand up. Amen, that you're going to help in the work of God. Lord, wherever I can find myself a place, wherever I can be placed, Lord, wherever you can use me. Lord, whatever I can do, Lord Jesus. God, no matter what the task, no matter what the position, Lord, wherever you can use me, Lord. God, I want to do something for you. I want to do work for the kingdom. I want to be an asset to the kingdom of God today. Hallelujah. Church, would you come with me to the altar now and let's come. Amen. Let's establish that commitment in our heart. Amen. Tonight that we'll serve God and that we'll live for the Lord. We'll work for Him. Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's coming to rise now. ask you who.